You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto, and we're ever so glad you're joining us on this scorching hot day, September 11th here in Vancouver. How are you doing, Art?
I am well. My MacBook Pro came in.
That is the dulcet tones of Art Factora, uber geek now, who started out doing this show 2 years ago with, I believe, I don't know what you had as far as technology, but now I have joined the world of the MacBook Pro group.
I'm an Apple fanboy.
You are. Now, when did it arrive?
Yesterday afternoon. I'm very excited.
So you've been setting things up. Isn't it nice? Did you sit down in the dark and let the glowing keyboard lull you to sleep?
I haven't had a lot of time with it just yet, but every second that I have, every moment that I have not doing something else, I'm playing with it.
It's a nice box. Now, what version did you get? Did you buy it on the Apple Store with the bargain in the bargain basement where I told you to go shop?
Absolutely. The refurb area.
Yeah, saved like $150.
I saved like $250.
Oh, see, I did that too when I went to buy mine. I bought the one that had the biggest discount.
Yes.
I didn't care about the specs. I just wanted to get the best deal I could.
it's fast. It's got, I think, the 8 gig RAM.
Yes. You need
500
that.
500 gigs. Retina.
Oh no, you got the Retina display. I don't have the Retina display. You like that?
I don't know the difference. I went to the Apple Store and he said that it's not just about the screen looking brighter, but it's a faster processor.
Oh, okay.
So I took that in consideration. There were two versions I was looking at. One came with the disk drive, and I thought, I don't really use DVDs or CDs to transport information. So I felt I went with the Retina.
The Retina display. And so does it have a solid state drive or is it just a big hard drive?
You'll have to check.
Okay.
I still don't know.
Okay. Now, next thing we got to start kitting you out with is we got to start figuring out your audio system because we got to get you
Sonos?
Recording. No, not music. Recording audio so you can start doing your own thing.
Absolutely.
We got to get you a good mic. Got to get you a good mic and we got to decide whether you're going to go USB or whether you're going to go audio interface and whether you're going to go XLR, professional quality or just, kind of high-end amateur quality. I think we're going to go professional art.
Are you bringing me up into the DottoTech world so then when you retire, I take
I'm
over?
I'm hoping. Well, you could take over the show if you want any time, but you can have it. I give it to you willingly. But I'm thinking there's very soon the day will be that you and I will be doing this show with you in your pajamas, me in my pajamas, and we don't have to come into the studio.
I like it.
Yeah, that's the way it's got to go.
I hate pants.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm with you. Yes. Now, I've got news, too. I have been burning the midnight oil because my first ever webinar goes tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and I have been building the infrastructure to support this thing like mad for the last few months, but last few days has been just crunch time. It's production day.
But you've seen the success, and I wish nothing. If I wasn't working tomorrow morning, I would be on my computer. Actually, I'll have it in the background just so then I know that it's.
Have you logged on? Have you registered yet?
I'm going to do it right after the show.
Good stuff. So my goal to get registration for this webinar, by the way, it's called 3 Steps to Inbox Zero. It's all about reducing your email overload. My goal was to, I was hoping that I might get 500 people registered because we're not going to have that many show up. Like you don't have 100% show up. You have about 50% of the people is a good number to show up.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting at over 660 people right now. So
well done.
And that's not even digital applause. That's analog applause. That's the best kind of applause.
It's warm. Those are my
hands. I'm nervous, though. I'm worried that it's going to go well. Anyways, check it out. You can drop by DottoTech.com. There's still time to register, so please do. And join me tomorrow and have fun. We've got a great show. Jillian Shaw coming right up. It has been too long because she's been away sailing. Regular guest on the show, Jillian Shaw, Jillian of the Vancouver Sun. How are you doing, Ms. Shaw?
I'm doing very well. Back on the grid, Steve, but I've been testing the wireless, the wireless connections all over the province on the water, and I can report that they're improving.
Are they improving? Now, what do you do? I mean, do you have a hotspot when you're sailing? Because for listeners that don't know, Jillian is a great avid sailor. She and her husband and family sail all over the coast of BC all summer long. And so how do you, because I often see you in touch. You're often giving me likes on Facebook and stuff like that. So you're definitely not off the grid all the time.
Well, not all the time. And I use everything. I have to say, I exceeded my data allowance. nobody exceeds six gigs a month, except me, as far as I know. So I hotspot my phone a lot. But I've got to tell you, this time, Steve, I had the new Spot satellite phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never out of touch. Now, that is very cool, because wherever you can get a satellite signal, which is just about anywhere unless you're in the basement of a building or
yeah.
very heavy trees, you can make a phone call. And the Spot satellite phone now does text and even data. So
is it expensive? Was it expensive?
You know, I remember when I first started writing about satellite phones, they were so many $1,000s, I couldn't even look at the price and think about it. But they are now, I think this one is $500.
Okay. And it, for so, you, it's a great safety net as well, though, right?
Yeah. It could be a lifesaver, because, you've got a radio on the water. You've got a VHS radio. But, Steve, you're not always in radio contact.
Yeah,
and out of range.
And of course, in this province, the Coast Guard has got, now they've got such a, we've got such great coverage now with the cutbacks haven't affected the Coast Guard in the province of BC at all, have they? Really?
Yeah, of course, you have to call Ottawa to get a Coast Guard cutter out.
No kidding. Well, listen, let's stay on the mobility theme, because I wanted to get you on to talk about yesterday's big Apple announcement, which, was it kind of yawn?
Well, you know what, No, I got to say, there was one thing that saved it from being a yawn. And this is just, it's partly personal, but it's also just a trend in technology, Steve. Yeah, the move from 5 to 5S, and I have to say, if you have a 5, as I do, you're likely not going to be shelling out upwards of almost $1,000 for a new phone. But if you had a 4 or a 4S, and you're so dedicated to Apple that you haven't yet made the move to a Samsung Galaxy 4S or one of the HTC One, you'll be probably buying this phone.
And even from the 4S, because I didn't think it was that big a step up from the 4S.
Well, a couple of things. I'm always about the camera on a phone, because
yes.
I don't know about you, Steve, but I have a digital SLR that, weighs about 50 pounds and I carry it. So, of course, when I'm out hiking around or skiing or sailing or whatever, I'm doing a lot of photos on my phone. So that was one of the things that prompted me actually to upgrade from the 4 to the 5, so skipping the 4S, but it was the 4S actually has a better phone. But they've actually improved the camera on the new iPhone 5S.
Yes.
But so I think that there are things like that. I mean, things that maybe if you don't use it all the time, you might not feel that are worth making the change. And in some ways, interestingly, Steve, some of the things they're doing, I think, are just catching up with, Samsung is giving Apple a run for its money. And some of the things like their burst mode photography and chooses the best shot when you take a series of photos like that, image stabilization, things like that, these are all things that were either available in apps or some other phones already have them in their cameras. So innovation, that is what the big criticism with Apple. Are they able to keep innovating? But what they do have is that, and what I really like on this new phone, is the fingerprint touch ID that lets you turn on your phone, which is great. It lets you unlock your phone, Steve. But the bigger thing in my mind is somebody who cannot keep track of passwords, no matter how many password keepers I use, is the fact that you can also, it'll be used for e-commerce. Like right off the bat, you'll be able to use to make purchases from iTunes.
Now, guess the logical extension, because having the fingerprint reader on the phone is going to be great as you say, it's great for simple passwords and stuff. But you still have to remember those passwords on your computer or other devices. So I imagine we're going to see some sort of system-wide implementation of these fingerprint readers in the Apple ecosphere as time goes by.
Well, I think you would expect so. And of course, mobile, because everything's mobile and that's where the money is and that's where the growth is.
Mm-hmm.
This is one, but in also in the whole mobile payment system.
Yes.
Steve. I mean, everybody is moving to mobile payments so that we can flash our phones or anything so that you don't actually have to reach in your wallet and take out money or your bank card. So I think this is Apple's, you know, this is Apple's
now,
first move in this direction.
Have you ever had a fingerprint reader on any of your devices?
I should. I actually had one and I never used it.
Okay, I had one on my Lenovo ThinkPad for years and years. And it worked fine. Yes, it worked fine, but there was one caveat. You had to swipe your finger the same way and the same finger each time. So it was near the top of the bezel of the or the bottom of the bezel of the notebook, and you could swipe your thumb, and it was quite comfortable to swipe your thumb on it. But that one of the things that I did notice with this, and it was a swipe, it wasn't you could just touch it. What I noticed with this fingerprint reader is it looks like you just have to touch it on the home button, and the angle that your thumb is at doesn't really matter. Apparently it reads multiple angles.
Well, exactly. I mean, if it doesn't work very well, you can imagine you're trying to open your phone up and you can't get it to work, that it can't be good.
Oh, no.
So
no.
The Apple's got it. I mean, we have to wait until we get a chance to try it. But, you know, that I think that could be something for them. Although the security guys are already saying that it's, you know, it's
you
not.
You just have to chop somebody's thumb off to get access. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, you know, change your fingerprints. Secret spy stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, and Apple doesn't have a great reputation of keeping that home button working on their phones. That's one of the weak spots of the phone, so that's going to be some concern. What do you think of the color? Do you think that people are going to get excited about that C? It's now the price is $100 less on contracts. Mm-hmm. What about this new entry-level phone that Apple stepped into?
Well, first, I think people thought it might be even less, right? It might be even cheaper than that. So $99, and we have to wait and see what it is going to be in Canada, actually, because if you notice, that was U.S., that was Verizon.
$99 on two-year plans.
On a two-year plan. So
you can assume it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of at least $99 on a three-year plan up here, probably.
We're not going to have three-year plans.
Oh, we're not going to have three-year plans, right? They've gotten rid of them.
Yeah, they're being canceled because of the CRTC is calling out, you know, no more three-year plans. So the question is, and I have to say, you have to wait and read. I'm working on a story right now, but I don't know that our pricing is going to be exactly the same as the U.S. And already on the unlocked phones, it's a little bit higher. But, you know, all that said, still, you know, is even if it's in the range of $99. Or somewhat above with a two-year contract, you know, and what are you getting for that? Yeah, that might bring in a lot of buyers. I got to tell you, my daughter, who is an iPhone user and has a perfectly good iPhone as far as I'm concerned, Steve, said, "Oh, I want that pink phone."
Oh.
So stereotypical. How did I raise a child like that?
Isn't that funny? Because I guess it's just generational, and maybe it could be gender. But you know, the color and look of the phone. Like, I mean, I ponder briefly between the black and the silver iPhone or the white one when I was buying mine. But I kind of went, okay, I like the black one better. But it wasn't like, oh, I need the black. And if it hadn't been available and I'd got the other color, it would not have bothered me one iota.
Well, I cover mine up with a case because
I'm
so neurotic. You know, honestly, I figure I can't walk out of the store without dropping it at least once. So I have a cast iron case on my iPhone. It wouldn't matter what color it is. But, you know, then I'm not in university and having to be like with the cool kids.
Yes. Now let's talk a little bit about the inside, especially of the new iPhone 3S or 5S. It is really, that's the big change. I mean, I don't think that the average end user is going to necessarily recognize a change in their life because you're going to be running the same apps. But this is a powerful processor.
The new A7 chip is the first smartphone with 64-bit desktop class. Let's have it. You know, architecture.
Yeah.
So, is it enough to make you switch from the 5 to the 5S? Probably not. But you know, it is an industry first.
But have they solved the power issues? Am I going to be able to, with a normal battery, get a day's service out of this particular phone? That would be, believe it or not, that would make me interested in switching.
Well, they did. What are they saying? They're talking about 10 hours?
Yeah, they've talked about 10 hours lots of times. I don't believe them.
Up to 10 hours web browsing on Wi-Fi and LTE, 8 hours on 3G, and 40 hours of audio playback. Yeah, do you believe all that, Steve?
Not a bit.
Exactly.
No, I believe 10% of that. No, but the bottom line is that right now iPhones are typically, I don't know how yours cacks out, but mine, if I can get 6 hours of kind of daily use out of it by 2 or 3 in the afternoon, if I'm on the road all day doing things, I'm seeking a charger.
And yeah, it's I found actually a drop from my 4 to the 5, Steve.
Yeah, well, it's more powerful.
Disappointing.
I mean, the laws of physics apply. You know, you're in a car. Yeah. When you're going faster in the car, you use more fuel. When data transfers faster into and out of a phone, when the processors run faster, it has to use more fuel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I was so disillusioned with my new iPhone and the battery life that I took it into the geniuses to complain. But, they just told me that's the way it was, and I was doing too much on it or keeping too many things running all the time. I never had to worry about that with my old iPhone. I didn't have to go through and make sure everything was shut down and nothing was sucking up battery life, but you sure do now. So, yeah, if that gets worse, that would be a drawback.
And again, we have another release of a brand new Apple phone without near-field communications.
Well, that is interesting, because that was another thing that all the rumors said, and the analysts said that that was going to be for sure, because BlackBerry has it and Samsung has it, and that's another mobile payments element, right?
Yeah.
So where is Apple going here? Who knows? It's not that big a deal to add it as well, right?
Yeah. No. What?
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't think so unless they've got their Apple stubborn hat on. You know, they don't believe that the technology is going to work. It's not for them.
No flash on our iPads. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. No, they were the first to lose the floppy disk. They'll tell us that and how important that particular decision was. But
exactly.
Yeah, and because now we're approaching 2014 and flash is dead, isn't it? Oh, wait a minute. Not dead yet.
This parrot is dead.
this flash is not dead yet. Oh, good old Apple. So overall, let's give them out of 10 on their new iPhone. What score do you give them, Jillian? New iPhones.
Could I give them 7.5? But I haven't seen it yet.
You are generous. I was going to say a 6.
I'm going to give them a little bit. I'm going to give them a little bit and see what they do with the mobile payment side.
Okay. Well, okay.
And try out the camera. But then...
Cameras, Apple's got it. Nobody does cameras like Apple. They're the best as far as that goes. But, but their cameras are already fantastic. So you're getting more fantastic. You know, we needed some other things. We needed... Their battery life is not fantastic. Their battery life sucks. They got to get some other things into that fantastic realm. That's what I'm going for.
Well, the thing is, everybody's looking to see, can they innovate? And
fingerprints don't do it.
This wasn't it.
No,
right?
No.
This wasn't the wow everybody with their innovation.
Colors and not being able to see the difference, not being able to see the seam between the glass and the body, that's not innovation. You are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Jillian,
you have it.
Where do we find your fine work?
Oh, you can check the Vancouver Sun /digital life.
Yeah, because you need to...
That's where I'm writing, and I'm writing in the paper and all over the website, but I have a blog. Digital Life blog at the Vancouver Sun.
Yes. You got to do a better job of self-promotion, right?
Well, I'm going to wait for one of your webinars on that.
So I don't
know. I'm signing up for that one.
Okay. Well, I'll think about it. It'll be the Jillian special, the Jillian Shaw special. Jillian is a fine, fine writer, always with interesting things to say from the Vancouver Sun. Thanks so much for your time, Jillian.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
You're listening to Dottotech,
brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Between the internet, podcasting, blogging, vlogging, people have access to markets to talk to and to share with that they've never had before. So of increasing importance, I believe, in this world is the idea around learning to tell stories properly. And, well, when I was a kid, they used to tell me, don't tell stories. But now they say, tell stories. And I've got two of the best storytellers, the people that teach people to tell stories, here in the studio with me. Pretty exciting. I have Martin Strong and I have Erica Hargrave. They are both instructors at BCIT, but they both, of course, have a background of telling stories. Martin, so welcome.
Oh, hi, Steve. Good to be here.
Now radio people will recognize you because you've been on air forever.
I've worked in Vancouver for many years on the radio. My main claim to fame, I guess, now is I worked for almost 15 years at Rock 101. I did the morning show with Bro Jake.
Yes.
As Marty. And I was on the CBC, too. I did a CBC radio show called Radio Shangri-La.
Did you? Now, when you talked on CBC, did you go into the... Today on CBC.
Like Dwight Wiley. I'm Dwight
Wiley. Slow down? Did they tell you to slow down at CBC?
No, well, they did, actually. the producer did tell me when I first started, because I was working in commercial radio at the time. I was working at CFOX when I first started doing this show. It was a part-time show. But I went on with a pseudonym. I was Marty Beaumont, because Radio Shangri-La, we used to play cocktail lounge music. And it was really swinging.
A little juxtaposed to your day gig.
It was totally different, and it was swinging, Frank Sinatra, Esquivel, and all these great, 60s things. And they told me I had to kind of relax, tone it down.
You've been walking through the studios here at AM 650 like a rock star. Our producer, Art Factor's eyes bugged out. Did you get the autograph, Art?
I was waiting until after the show. You ruined it.
Sorry. Also joining us here is Erica Hargrave. And Erica is a longtime blogging expert. She does a lot of speaking and has really crafted the art of storytelling in blogs. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. And I'd sort of more term it the digital storytelling rather than simply blogs, because our focus has always been more cross-platform and using other digital tools out there too, like your different social media feeds and taking things into real life as well. And I have to say, I think Marty just got 10 times hotter to me after, telling me about Marty Beaumont and Frank Sinatra and everything else like that.
I could have brought you back to my swinging bachelor pad.
For our viewers at home that can't see him, he's already hot, Steve Dotto, of course.
Oh, listen, speaking of storytelling.
I chopped liver back there in the production booth.
Oh. I'll just put this paper bag back on my head.
Okay. Well, at the risk of getting completely derailed, because let's talk about the art of, because you two folks come from into the art of storytelling from two different perspectives. And the reason that I brought you together is you're both instructing in this at BCIT coming up in their fall semester, correct?
Yes, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with where BCIT is going with their traditional broadcast program, but they're actually changing it up now, and they're mixing it up into now a multi-platform storytelling program that is also accessing people servicing people in marketing as well as traditional broadcast, because
the lines, what's a traditional broadcaster today? There is no traditional broadcast anymore. You better be multidisciplined.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's confusing for me. I don't know
that's the line of demarcation we have. Marty, you're going to talk to us about the art of storytelling, crafting the story. You're teaching a lot of the techniques around being engaging, creating a compelling story. Where Erica, your course is a lot more on the delivery, finding different avenues to share it, creating interaction with your audience through the digital side.
Yeah, and also, finding and building audiences out there. So that I really feel the area of storytelling that I'm in sort of in many ways gets rid of the old boys network and opens up a lot of avenues to people starting out in storytelling and where you can really find those audiences that your stuff will appeal to online. Because let's face it, just because, a mainstream broadcaster is giving us, a certain amount of storytelling content, that doesn't mean that's what we want to be watching.
True. I mean, a guy that I really like is Mark Maron, who does WTF. It's a podcast.
Yes.
And he was late 40s, a stand-up comedian, and his career was kind of done, and he just started podcasting out of his garage, and he found he had a very unique, singular voice. And he has found his audience. And back in the day, he would have worked on radio, in traditional terrestrial radio. It was just too weird, talk too long.
Yeah.
But for it also would
typically only hit one geography, whereas he hits an interest group rather than a geography, right?
Right.
As far as, so the internet can provide everybody that has similar interests, allow them access, and it doesn't matter where they live
mm-hmm.
or what time they want to watch because it's on demand.
That's another thing.
Or listen, should I say.
You can listen asynchronously.
So what about, I mean, if we think about the art of storytelling, it is a little bit intimidating for most people to think that, you know, to step into it, because most people don't have the ego, or they don't have the patience, or they don't see themselves as a storyteller. So what's the soul of a storyteller? Why would we want to become a storyteller?
Well, I think it depends on if you're a broadcaster or if you're in sales or anything, a corporate type of person. Storytelling is so important because sort of weaving a narrative, and it does, and it, often when you say storytelling, it invokes this sort of feeling like, oh,
you gotta have a pipe. You gotta have a pipe and sit in a rocking chair and have a tweed sweater on.
Yeah, or you're lying, or you're making up stuff just to sell stuff. But if you can somehow weave a story together that makes people understand who you are and where you're coming from, it's really helpful. And you know, I think of people. A lot of people are what I call incident prone. Mm-hmm. Like they'll walk into a deli and something will happen to them. And they'll have a story about it. And they'll tell this story at a party. And everyone goes, oh, he's such a good storyteller. But everybody has these stories in them. And part of my course, it's called Discover Your Inner Storyteller. It helps you realize that these stories are everywhere. Like one of the exercises we do in the first week is we all the students will draw a picture of their backyard when they were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll spend when they're 15 minutes of what they could remember about their backyard, a tree, a pool, a rusted out car or whatever. And I've done this with students at BCIT in the broadcasting department in a live classroom setting. And I found that if you spend some time, like 15, 20 minutes drawing a picture, stories will come up and then I'll have everyone talk about it. And I never force people to tell a story, but every time I've ever done it, every single person in that classroom has had a story. Some of them have been funny. Some of them have been emotional, like really emotional. And it's just a matter of tapping into that instinct, because everybody tells stories. I mean, storytelling is an innate instinct that human beings have.
So that's compelling, but what good does it do me to be a good storyteller? Where is the payoff in business, in life? How can I leverage this skill?
Well, first of all, it's the BCIT, broadcast department. So if you're broadcasting and, my background, I've done a lot of news reading, mm-hmm. It's storytelling. You're telling people stories. Or if you're on the air, you're a host. You're telling stories about your life that's what broadcasting is. But say you're a CEO of a company or you own a restaurant, for example. That's a great example. You have a restaurant. You want to tell the story of your restaurant. And mm-hmm. nowadays, there are so many ways you can make YouTube videos, put them on YouTube. You can advertise in ways that are very, very new that weren't around a few years ago.
Giving people access to it. Yeah.
And if you can tell your story of this restaurant, like maybe you were a story of you were a lawyer, a high priced lawyer, and you got sick of the corporate world and you threw it all away to follow your passion of opening an Italian restaurant. That's a story. That's a compelling story.
And people want that engagement.
Yeah, they do.
And that really kind of leads us into what you're teaching, Erica, which is the distribution and the sharing of these stories.
Yeah, and also how to tell them across those platforms too. So because storytelling in the way that that I generally tell it is quite different from the traditional broadcast model, where you're sending your story out there and you're telling people your story. In my form of storytelling, while I do some of that, I also am, my stories change depending on the engagement we get back from them, because we're getting back real-time engagement. And they can, you know, they alter and they flow and they ripple depending on how our audience engages back with them. Sort of like when, if you were doing a live like call-in show on radio and you're reacting to your,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that real-time element actually has, you know, a lot of consequences around marketing as well. For example, post Arab Spring in April of 2012, leading up into the Egyptian presidential elections, I was brought into Egypt to tell Egypt's story in real time to start building back a buzz around tourism at the time and to show that it was safe traveling through the country. And they specifically wanted somebody from North America who had an audience that trusted her, that could share those stories in real time, and that sort of gives an example of too where, you know, where there are marketing, you know, elements to this that you know is why I guess the dollar figures in there care, right?
Yeah, ultimately for well, I guess there are two sides. I mean, certainly there is the business side where you do have to attach revenue to it, but then there's also just the artistic side where it's
well, good. And that's really where my storytelling began, is with the artistic side, and that's the reason. I mean, above and beyond anything else, you know, with myself and those the people on my team, that's what drives us the most is. You know, storytelling
has
those moments make us smile.
Is the evolution of digital? Not, I'm not talking about blogs, written blogs, but the multimedia side, the being able to create an audio podcast or a video podcast so quickly and easily. That's just the biggest game changer for this, for technique and for impact.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, in terms of broadcasting, like, I mean, I always come back to broadcasting because that's, you know, that's how I make my living.
Yeah.
It's incredible what you can do. I mean, it was strange for me, first of all, when people started doing radio shows from their home.
Yes.
For a radio station. And I mean, that was just the beginning. And now you can, you know, you can put this out on a podcast, and it's incredible who you can reach. And what we were talking about this earlier, what's great to me is the content can be so, it doesn't have to be dumbed down. It's the opposite of whatever the opposite phrase of dumbing down the content is. That's what you can do with the internet. You can reach out to those odd people who might get your stuff, who might be interested, and they're all over the globe, and it's very exciting.
That's an interesting concept, and it's one that I've been in some marketing research that I've been doing around course development and things like that, is they say that the more specific that you can get, the more you can charge. So basically, you can create a more engaged audience by being more specific and creating higher value, which is, as you say, it's not reaching the masses anymore.
Yeah.
It's going out there and focusing on individuals or like common groups, right? And then engaging with them.
Yeah, there's a great quote, and I forget who said it. It was after Andy Warhol said, of course, he said, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes in the future, and I forget who it was, but he said, in the future, now, somebody else, that everyone will be famous to 15 people. Because it's specific.
Well, it's so true. I found myself listed as a celebrity on the web the other day, which I thought was quite funny. And that's just it. You have these, especially, you know, when you're hitting your targeted audiences online, you have these people that become so incredibly involved in your stories and the stories of the people around you. We have this wonderful gentleman. I think he's somewhere in Idaho or Iowa in the States. And he just, you know, the second we're putting something out there, he's back there and he's engaging with it, and he's engaging with it in a smart way. And I really liked what you said, Marty, about the fact that, you know, this allows us to be creating you know, thought-provoking content again, and where we're not just dumbing things down. Because I find that with television broadcast in North America, that is constantly what we're doing these days. We're going after the lowest common denominator. And then that also changes people's thinking. Like, you know, that, geez, we have to act like idiots to become celebrities and to be in the media spotlight. And that concerns me with society.
Smart, still sexy.
And well, and that's the reality. I mean, the reality of what I've built online with our own story, storytelling content, is it's being built around that whole thing of smart is sexy. And those are the types of people that engage with us. And they engage with us because, you know, some of the characters I've created are talking about things like Linux and, you know, all that Uber geeky stuff. And she becomes like our character becomes 10 times hotter the second she starts talking like, you know, code and Linux. And
it's all on a scale of hotness to you, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. And our producer in the back there is awfully gorgeous, I have to say, because he's playing with all the technology.
Right. Art's got a new MacBook Pro, so he's in a little bit of geek heaven today. So let's give the summary of the course offerings, because people might not realize, but the School of Broadcast Journalism at BCIT, you guys are in the part-time faculty, and it's open to everybody. It's not just if you want to become a broadcast professional. These communication skills transfer into almost every sector of our economy. So it's well worth considering, even if you don't see broadcast as your future, correct?
Well, and the beauty with both Marty's and my programs too is you can take them from anywhere in the world.
Oh, they're online.
They're online.
Ooh,
so these are online courses that people can take from anywhere in the world. You can come from any walk of life and come and learn how to tell stories with us. And so you could be from a marketing background, you could be from a traditional broadcast background, whether radio or television or you know,
print.
A novel writer.
Those guys
yeah,
are looking
exactly.
For jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you could also be a small business owner that's looking, you know, to find out how to better tell your story so that your shoe store stands out online.
And the great thing about it, it is still early, in my opinion. I think if you are an early adopter,
yes.
adapter of this kind of stuff, I think you're, you know, if you're a small business owner, like you say, I think get involved in the internet.
You know, that's one of the things. There's no too late to the party on the internet.
No.
Because there's new people joining up all the time. It's expanding. It's a good thing. So where do we go to find information? What's the website URL?
It's storytogo.ca.
And we'll put that link up.
Specifically, you want to look on the sidebar and you want to click on courses, because you'll see the main programs when you get to storytogo.ca. Click on the sidebar on courses and you will find Marty's course under Discover Your Inner Storyteller. You'll find my course on interactive storytelling. And then there's also a third online course that they're offering this fall. And that one's with Julia Foy, who I believe right now is on Global TV. I think she's on one of the Saturday shows on Global TV. And hers is Introduction to Broadcast Journalism.
And she is a very experienced TV journalist.
I got to say, Steve, I am a former part-time BCIT student and graduate of the broadcast program 2000. 13 years later, if anyone wants to be your lackey, that's where I am. So I am what they call a success story from BCIT.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
I went to BCIT. I was a full-time student.
Were you?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
And I was actually one of those people that, you know, has had a couple of different careers and degrees along the way. But when I wanted to, well, I was going to be the host of a kids television show. And so I started taking some courses in broadcast journalism from BCIT and specifically from the part-time studies program.
There we go. So it's like a class reunion. So class reunion here on the show. Thanks so much. It's Martin Strong. It's Erica Hargrave. BCIT will have the links to the interactive storytelling and the Discover Your Inner Storyteller courses. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned into Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
And joining me online now is Rod Jans. He is the Manager of Development and Communications at Mission Possible, which is a group that helps people. It basically empowers people to get jobs, get out there, get working in those that find themselves in difficult situations. How are you doing, Rod?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, you guys are doing something really interesting. The reason I wanted to talk to you is you are doing the first kind of text-based fundraiser that I've seen. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I think we did come up with the idea. I know our CEO, he's trying to patent the idea or whatever. But we're having a networking fundraiser. We call it a smartphone raiser. And we're encouraging people to just come by. And if they want, they can call or text a few friends and see if they would donate a little bit of money to our cause, to Mission Possible.
Now, the cause is a good cause. You guys really help empower people that are down on their luck, not by giving them handouts, but by giving them skills, right?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. We talk about giving people a hand up. We find, you know, people look at the downtown east side and think that people are, overly challenged. And we think people are equally under-challenged. In other words, they lack a available opportunities. So we provide people with jobs and opportunities to volunteer. And we find that when people get a paycheck and they do some meaningful work, it gives them some dignity and purpose in their lives.
So how does the fundraiser itself work?
Yeah, well, people can just show up and they can donate if they want. Just come down and network. We'll have Brian Postlewaite. He's our CEO. He was voted by... he was awarded from Business in Vancouver as one of the top CEOs under 40.
Yeah.
And Jim Jantz will be there. Jim has just written a book called Rendezvous with Destiny, and he's going to be there as well. So, yeah, people can just show up and donate, and then we'll have some forms and just a little blurb if they want, if they're not sure what to say. And they can call or text a few friends and just say, you know, would you be willing to pledge $10 or $15, almost like the old, you know, the old fundraisers that we see on TV, except we're going to do it with our smartphones through texting and making some phone calls if people want to.
And will people be able to do online donations? Will they be able to make the donation from their phone?
Exactly. Yeah, we've set up Eventbrite.
Oh, perfect.
So if people want to go to our Eventbrite site that day, they can just go, and we've set it up for, you know, just small amounts, even $10, $15, $50, $100 or whatever people might want to donate from the Eventbrite.
I love Eventbrite, and it's got a really easy to use interface. So the event itself is going to be at the Lamplighter Pub.
That's right, Lamplighter Pub, September 20th. We're starting at 4 in the afternoon, so people can come down just after work, and we'll be there until 7 o'clock. The Donnelly Group has been kind enough to let us use that location.
And so it's going to be a networking event as well. Lots of different business people. Are there going to be any presentations, or is it just pretty much a social event?
Yeah, pretty much a social event. Jim Jans might say a few things, and Brian might say a few things too, but no heavy speeches or anything like that. Mostly just come down and network.
Network, bring the phone, and use a few of your texting minutes up.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Well, we'll put post to this, and I'm going to try and make it down myself. I think it's a cool use of the technology, Rod.
Yeah, great. We'd love to have you there, and thanks again for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So the first that I know of smartphone fundraiser coming up on the 20th at the Lamplighter Pub in benefit of Mission Possible for the Downtown Eastside residents to help them get back on their feet, those that want to. Rod Jans is the Manager of Development Communications. Thanks so much, Rod.
Thanks again, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now, Julian Saunders from London Drugs. Now, Julian, last week you were talking to me about kids getting tablets. It's as little as grade 3. I don't know. I don't know about how they're growing them in Saskatchewan. I'm not sure many kids in BC are getting them are getting tablets in grade 3. At least nobody I know.
Well, I know a grade 4 class that did a whole bunch of lessons that involved YouTube. They had to shoot and make videos and post them on YouTube. So,
oh,
Well, there you go.
You'd be surprised.
But here's the thing I want to talk about. I want to get into tablet accessories now, because there are a lot of new tablets out there. There's a lot of people that are really excited about them, and you're probably a little bit careful when you first got them, but then they become second nature, and you start dropping the darn things. And I know that in our family we have a cracked screen on one of our we've managed to break several screens on different devices over the years. There's a fair bit of handheld devices in the Dotto household, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
But so what are the hot selling accessories for tablets these days?
Well, the good standby of a military grade case for the iPad is still the best way to protect your eye device. If you've invested in an iPad or iPad Mini, the Griffin Survivor is the top of rugged, drop proof, spill proof cases. The mini cases are $60, and the iPad cases are $90, and they protect against pretty much everything except for dropping it in the bathtub. You can spill your coffee on it, you can drop it off the kitchen table onto the floor, and it won't skip a beat. It's a very rugged, double-shelled case, plastic on the inside with a full rubber outside, and a hard plastic screen protector.
Now, how similar are they? Now, on my phone, I had the OtterBox. It looks to me to be a fairly similar style. It's a hard plastic shell with the rubber outside. And the thing that bothered me with the OtterBox, although it was a great case, is over the course of about a year, is that rubber case starts to get slack. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it seems that it almost wants to come off because it's a wrap that goes all the way around.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, and it seems that you bump it a few times and you get a little bit there that the rubber almost remembers where it's not.
Yeah, it
starts
to kind of stretch out. It gets just a little. It's not as tight around the case. Do you think that's going to be an issue at all with the Griffin, because it's got a similar design?
I've used the Survivor for over a year on my iPhone, and I haven't run into any issue like that.
Okay.
I have heard of that on previous generations of the same case, but on this one, they seem to have really solved that. There's a little rubber cover over the camera that you pop off, and there's now a little rubber hinge that stays down, so you can leave the camera exposed without having to put your hand there. And
okay.
With the previous generation, I found that little rubber flap would want to come off, the little cover for the charging port would want to come off, but all that's been no problem over this generation.
Okay, so they've got a whole series all the way from the iPhone all the way through to the tablets. Now, is it just for the Apple tablets, or do they have them for others as well?
It is right now just for those. The varying shapes and different designs that the manufacturers go with Android and Windows tablets mean that they don't have as many rugged cases for those as an option. But there's a lot of different universal cases that offer fairly good protection against the real world. They have a lot of, Logix has a lot of universal cases in a few different sizes that give a hard cover basically to the back and to the front. So if your tablet's closed and something hits it, it has a very good chance of surviving. It doesn't give you the same ruggedness that the other one does, but I've seen it save my own Android tablet a couple of times from drops from my sitting at the couch dropping onto my hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm.
So it does help to have a good case that way. Something that it stays in is important, because you don't want just a sleeve. That's more for protecting it when it's getting squished around in a bag.
Okay. Now, what other accessories should people be considering?
A lot of people forget screen protectors these days.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you use them?
No. Not very often. No.
There's really good coatings on today's stuff. There's Gorilla Glass, there's a whole bunch of different ways to protect screens that are far better than they used to be. It used to be that you looked at the tablet the wrong way and the dust would scratch it, but nowadays they're much better off on their own. But if you have diamond or other rocks on your rings, it'll scratch that surface right away, and getting a scratch on a tablet's pretty annoying.
Yeah,
Starting at about $15, it's a great way to save your screen from a scratch.
It's a good idea. And I know my kids have it on theirs. On my iPhone sits in a case that's always closed. I use the BookBook, the little leather case. So it's always closed when it's in my pocket and stuff. So I think it's protected. And my iPad, whenever I'm out and about, it's always in a case. I carry around a keyboard case, so it's always in the keyboard case. So I should probably put a screen cover on it, but I'm too lazy.
Well, if you popped into London Drugs, I'm sure they could help you out.
Now, do you guys do the install there, too? Do you do proper clean and install to get the screen on? Because that's the thing, is it's got to be put on right.
Exactly, yeah. We do on the invisible shields at most locations. It's a good idea to get in touch with your favorite store and see what they do there. Or tweet us at LD Computers, and we can help you out there as well. But we do install at most of our London Drugs.
Because it's worth getting somebody that's done more than one to do it. If you do it the first time, you can do an okay job. But if you get into a routine where you know how to do them pretty well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I install a lot of invisible shields for my customers. Film that was used was designed to protect rotor blades on helicopters, so it's very strong stuff, and it is a little bit difficult to install, but that's still my strongly recommended one for the Surface, for the Asus tablets, and for the iPads. It saves you, I tell you. It's pretty thick, and you don't have to worry about bubbles. So
now, the one thing I'm wondering about is, what about Bluetooth accessories? They've all got Bluetooth installed, but are a lot of people buying Bluetooth headsets for these things?
Some people are. A lot of people are liking the Bluetooth headsets that can work on anything, mm-hmm. like on your game console, your cell phone, or your tablet.
Yeah.
I find that a lot of people are getting the larger, more, I should say, better sound quality, noise-canceling ones from Samsung or from Motorola that are for cell phones, because a lot of people don't know that you can use a headset on your tablet just like you can on your cell phone. So
yeah, it
serves more than one purpose.
So yeah, so you can use that for audio. I mean, the thing I use Bluetooth for is the keyboard, which I think a lot of people do that. But I was just wondering about the audio side, so that's cool.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The keyboards, too, are one that a lot of people don't know. There's a few different choices. You said you had a good keyboard case.
Yeah.
How do you find typing on that?
Well, it's a little bit small. Sorry, I just banged the microphone because I was picking it up. It's the Logix, I think. It's Belkin. Mine's a Belkin.
Yeah.
It's a little bit small. You know, it's not quite as good as a notebook when I'm writing. But I've also got sausagey fingers. So sitting on a plane, it's good for making notes. I don't do finished writing on it per se. I can take quick notes if I'm in a meeting, or if I'm sitting on a plane and I just want to bang through a bunch of stuff, it works out really well.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have a lot of family that does that. Even my own dad's got a keyboard case together, but he doesn't find he can do a long writing session. I prefer a separate Bluetooth keyboard. Because then I can choose from a wider variety of cases for my tablets, and
yeah.
They're universal. My pick right now is the Microsoft Wedge, and it's regular $69. Bluetooth works on Windows, iOS for iPad, iPhone, and Android. So I like that it's universal because I'm a bit of a nerd, so I have a few different platforms to use it on. And it's the same size as a laptop keyboard, so for touch typers or anybody wanting to do finished writing on it, maybe you have a Windows tablet, it's a great choice because it gives you the full keyboard.
It looks very similar to Apple's keyboard.
It is, yeah. It just has, instead of having... no cover, though. It comes in a case that can also be a stand.
Oh,
and when you
nice.
When you take the cover off, it turns on the keyboard. When you close it, it turns it off.
And if you're in the Windows tablet world, this would be exceptionally good, because of course you can have a full version of Windows on your high end Windows tablet. So the keyboard would come in quite an advantage then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's actually why I chose to buy that one, because I can use it on my Windows or my iPad, because I also write on my iPad a lot, and I find that it's the most comfortable that I've used.
I'll take a look at that. It looks like a nice keyboard. I write on the small Apple keyboard all the time, and I'm fine with it on my desktop, so I think it might work out well to have that on the road as well. I'll
absolutely.
Yeah, it's
got all the media keys are there, too, that you're used to.
Good stuff.
All the little shortcuts.
And where do people go to find all this stuff, Julian?
London Drugs.
Yeah, so I think that that tip of going in and getting you guys to install the screen protector, I might even do that myself. I'm not coming to Saskatchewan to get it done, though, my friend. So.
Well, I'm sure somebody out west will help you, Steve.
Yeah, we've got a few. There's a few locations here for us to do it. Have a great day, Julian.
Thank you, too.
You know what's coming up next week, Art?
Oh, is it App Wednesday again?
It would be App Wednesday next week.
Do MacBook apps count as apps?
Yeah, sure, they're apps. It's, I'm good with that.
Okay.
I don't, I just want cool stuff. We should call it Cool Stuff Wednesday, but it doesn't sound as good as App Wednesday. It
doesn't roll off the tongue the same
way. Don't know who the roster is going to be yet. You know what we should do is we should create a list on the website of all the potential candidates to join us for App Wednesday and let the Dotto Tech Nation choose.
I like it.
We should.
What if I get voted out though? Am I guaranteed a spot?
Wouldn't that suck?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't that suck? And that would make my day. Oh. And can you imagine how sullen you'd be sitting back there switching if you couldn't throw in an app?
Just quietly.
Especially if an app that you would have chose won. That would be the best.
Well, I feel like I've done that numerous times.
Next week, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, App Wednesday. See you then. I'm Steve Dotto. Thanks for tuning in.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.